carry the consciousness of certain things, you will only be a victim. Your mind will be swinging from left to right. One day I meditated on the scripture that says, whatsoever he doeth, prospers. Now, let me tell you, that looks like a simple story. Oh, yes, whatsoever he doeth, prospers. Amen. That, no, you have not gotten it. You act on that thing, it will never work for you. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. One day is by 2 a.m. in the morning. This is you. Shamakaparakatabariata. You are meditating on that thing. Whatsoever he doeth, prospers. You look at your hands. Whatsoever he doeth, prospers. Whatsoever he doeth, prospers. It will make sense to you in a way that will annoy somebody close to you because they don't know what has entered you. Whatsoever he doeth, prospers. From that day, you will never fail in anything again because it has entered your consciousness. This is what it means in Ezekiel 2 and verse 2. And the spirit entered into me. The spirit of any revelation, if it has not entered you, you will keep gyrating. This is the problem with the body of Christ. We shout over revelations that have not moved past the realm of knowledge into your consciousness. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I meditated on that scripture and I came to a conclusion that I cannot be a curse to my world. In thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. Where I come from, notwithstanding, is a blessing that God gave to Abraham and his seed. And Galatians 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he's talking about me. I am a blessing. If I come to your house, I am a blessing. Some things must leave and some things must come. If I shake hands with you, it's not pride. Some things must leave and some things must come. If you listen to me, some things must leave and some things must come. It's a consciousness. It's not about empty boasting. You can be shouting and the realm of the spirit will say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? This is what great men like Bishop Oyedepo meditated upon. And he said, God told him, he canceled his ministrations. And he said, get down and make my people rich. Now, that may, a lot of people find it offensive. That's why he didn't say it to everybody. He said it to the one who can believe him. Hallelujah. This is what I believe, oh. This reading things randomly, when the spirit of revelation comes to you, you can stay on one scripture for 1 week. It's not a competition to finish the Bible. It's that one scripture that has a treasure that defines the next 10 years of your life. You stay there till the spirit of that word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He never said, I shall not want money. If all you are thinking about is money, it's a sign that you are thinking carnally. I shall not want. This is the realm of sufficiency. I shall not want men. I shall not want things. I shall not want influence. No, this revelation damages insufficiency forever. Never will you be without help. If God sends you to America, you shall not want. If he sends you to Europe, you shall not want. If he brings you to Abuja, you shall not want. You are crying simply because you do not know. You are wanting, even though you are reading the scripture, it is not yet in your consciousness. Take it higher for me.
We will pray until we are changed. We will pray until we are changed. We will pray until we are changed. We are changed. We are changed. We will stay until we are changed. Stay until we are home. We will stay.
listen. Can I tell you the truth? There is nothing you can do with a man that has caught light beyond the book. If it has entered that realm of consciousness, only death can stop it from happening. It's a realm where it is settled. No matter what you say or do not say, as far as that result happening, is a realm. Listen, this is a reality that both science and religion tell you that controls manifestation. The realm of consciousness. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Still take it high for me. There are things I believe I can never be a victim of till Jesus comes. And this is not empty talk. I have stayed with scripture until that thing, one of it is that I can never lack the help of men. No. It's not because I'm anointed. It's the revelation that brought that anointing. This thing you see, this grace called favor that you are shouting, you read it, you will never get it. That's not how it works. When God called me into ministry, I took time to pray. One of the things I covenanted with God with was that I did not want to manipulate God's people because of this money thing. I saw sincere, well-meaning people who love the Lord. But once you are pushed by the pressure of ministry, you will do things you never planned doing. But I know that I have to eat. And the implication of ministry is that you will feed many people. You will be like Father Abraham, having many children, your own and the ones that have forced themselves to be your own. And I said, God, I don't want to tell people lies. I had great men like Bishop Oyedepo, great men like my dear revered mentor, Dr. Miles Munro. They talked about the potency of walking in the blessings of God. While others were there arguing in pride with no result, I said, God, you can't be lying. Please show me. I confess my ignorance. I have read this thing, but it's not working. There are human beings in the world, but nobody's looking my direction. I don't need to go to a herbalist. There is a way. Hi. Job said there is a path which no fowl has seen, that the whelps of the lion has not gotten there. When I caught that revelation of I shall not want, I said, this is it. And God is able to make all grace. If you think what prospers men is business, get ready to suffer till Jesus comes. Now, I'm not against those things. Don't get me wrong. But first things first, the realm of the spirit is what controls the physical realm. But when you hold it there, bah, that's it. You've held it. It's true. The same thing with the ministry of the spirit, the anointing. I saw great people that I admired walking in dimensions of the anointing. And I said, there has to be a way. I got all the teachings and the materials. I don't want to do a ministry speaking to people and they're shouting amen, coming week after week, making sacrifices and then they don't testify. That is evil and is wicked. In fact, it's fraud. I said, I don't want that kind of thing. Father, show me the secret to real power, real, genuine power. I have found David, my servant. So God can find men, but until he finds his servant, he will not anoint you. God can find Joshua Selman, but he's looking for his servant. For as long as you are still Joshua Selman, that oil will not come to your head until you become his servant. The anointing is not for men of God. The anointing is for servants. Genuine people who love Jesus beyond their reputation, who want to see him glorified. You see, you know why sometimes you hear me tell these guys to play these things? It's not a movie. One day, I was meditating on scripture and the Lord took me to the story of Elisha. He said, bring me a minstrel. And while the minstrel played, he said, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he began to prophesy. Then he says, I will reveal my dark sayings upon the harp. It may not work for everyone, But that is how light came to me. I valued divine presence. When I meditated on the scripture, Moses said, "Do not send us from here if your presence..." I'm showing you how to manifest realities. What provided what you are doing is just reading the Bible to ease the guilt of feeling less spiritual, you will never, never produce anything potent. He said, "If your presence will not go with us..." And then here's what he said. He said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." I said, that's the key to rest, the presence of God. I remember in 2005, I spent a major part of that year doing a research on Jewish worship and the mystery of God's presence. I wanted to know what was it about Jewish worship and God's presence. That's when you saw that I started falling in love with all these kind of Paul Wilbur songs. King of Kings, "We hail you Most High." All these songs that came laid down by the Spirit. Because I found out that there was a connection to these kinds of songs and the Spirit of God and the Shekinah of God. Listen, you must move past the realm of just reading scripture and get it to your consciousness. It will take time, but allow the Spirit of God move it. Stay in your one room and read the scripture on how God brings men out. The day it enters your spirit, you will know. The devil will know. Everything around you will know. And like a magnet, it will start drawing from anywhere on earth the men and the circumstances that must make that word become reality in your life. I assure you on this. Listen, hear me. The day the power to prosper through meditation comes on you, right where you are, you know how explosions happen, a nuclear bomb, that's how it will, from your place, is like an explosion in your spirit. It will gravitate everything that must make that revelation true in your life, and it will bring it to your life. It is true. Sometimes it's difficult to teach these things because people mistaking it for pride. But by the privilege of God's grace, you see, we have proven these things and will prove it again and again and again. Your consciousness. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It doesn't stop there, but that is the springboard. The Lord, not my ability, the Lord. Here's how many of us interpret it. "My brain is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, the Lord, the journey to lasting wealth starts with the Lord. It does not ignore your mind. It does not ignore your value, but it is the Lord, because he must be Alpha and Omega. Are we together? Sit down, let me give you the third. For someone, let me give you a little assignment. Just lay your hand gently on your head. I want you to think of one scripture by the Spirit that you know. There are many scattered in the Bible, but one bailout scripture that you need to meditate upon until light enters your spirit. For some of you, is "Thou anointest my head. Thou anointest my ministry." Are you seeing that ministry anointed, rising from where it is? Are you seeing yourself rising as a father of nations? You may not be physically called Abraham, but ladies and gentlemen, when what God told Abraham enters you, nothing will keep you down. You just do what I'm asking you to do, and you see a miracle that is happening to your spirit, man. You are a businessman. Take away your mind from your brain and look unto Jesus. Some of you are in ministry. You have struggled and struggled. It's not an issue of struggling. There is a consciousness. For as long as there are 8 billion people on earth, everybody will not tell God no. He can fish help for you from everywhere. There are some of you, the revelation for you should be that God is the one who gives you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. I am the Lord that teacheth thy hands to prosper. I am the Lord that teacheth thy hands to prosper. You have to be taught. No, it's not your ability, you are taught. You just take a minute to meditate on this. Some of you, it's that meditation that will cure you from curses forever. Raised up with him out of every tribe, out of every tongue, even the worship of the dead. Yes, people were buried in my village but have been exalted. Exalted beyond every curse. Exalted beyond every charm. Any enchantment. For someone, the revelation for you is no weapon formed against you, formed in the secret, formed by the conspiracy of men, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. For another, surely they shall gather, but because they are gathering of not of the Lord, they will scatter as much as they have gathered. They will come in one way and be dispersed in 7 ways. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hear me. Psalm 119 from verse 97 to 99. Let's hurry up. Psalm 119, 97 to 99. Meditation involves hearing. Meditation involves speaking. Meditation involves the power of your imagination. All of them have to come into play as you meditate. Oh, how I love thy law, he says. It is my meditation. How long? The psalmist, all the day, my meditation. Verse 98. Thou, through your commandment, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Last verse. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The secret to my conviction, my meditation, he's saying, or my persuasion, is that I have meditated on that reality. You see, one of the ways you meditate is to repeat thoughts again and again and again. It's a practice till today. Till today, I can play a teaching, play a message, play scriptures, play verses again and again. Sometimes I make declarations myself and record it. Prophetic declarations myself, and I put it on repeat while I sleep. There are times I want to focus on just 2 verses. I meditate on those 2 verses. I first quote them and then make prophetic declarations by myself. They are in my phone. And I play it on repeat. Whether I'm awake or sleeping. Sometimes I'm doing my study and they are playing. The goal is not awareness. I'm transporting it to a realm. When it lands that realm, I know that I'm ready for the next step. I've shared with you my story. When God moved us to Abuja, I was praying and trusting God for direction. And God told me, like he did Abraham, get the map of Abuja. Get the map of Nigeria. Get the map of Africa. Get the map of the world. And he said, start praying with those maps. So every time I'm praying, I will place those maps, 4 of them. I still have them till today. And lay my hands. One day, something happened to me. I looked at the map of Abuja and it became small. Very small. the city just became, it's like it just shrunk and it became small. I knew a miracle had happened. I knew Koinonia was ready to start, because that reality of territorial dominion for the sake of His Majesty, that's what happened. Hallelujah. But every once in a while, not every time, I revisit those maps again. And now that God is sending us to the nations, I carry that map of the world sometimes and I look at it. And I look at the continents from the eyes of the Creator, not from the eyes of an inhabitant. You can't see that far. But when you stand with the Creator's lens, you will see that there is no nation you cannot conquer. Men like John Knox saw this and they said, God, give me Scotland, not a community. Give me that territory. Listen, when you do this, you can see great things. You can put your businesses and say, by God's grace, I will have a global business for the kingdom. People will laugh at you. It's not an attack. It's a usual thing with men. Men are permitted to laugh until your result bail you out. Provided you have not produced result, don't be angry that men laugh and mock. Mockers are a natural pathway to greatness. If you don't find them, you're on the wrong path. Their presence validates that you might be doing something right. So you continue. But when you emerge, you get that thing to your consciousness, you will marvel and wonder at what happens to you. Hallelujah. My dear friend, Pastor Shola, when his church got burnt, we went for a conference in his church, and Pastor Poju said something, just a brief session before I came up to preach. And he said something within a few minutes, but it was such a profound blessing. He told the church then, he said, take away the memory from your mind of a burnt church and see a great church that God is building. As simple as that statement was, I said, this is it. The Spirit of God quickened that statement. While we look not at the things that are seen, you have been seeing your disappointment. Every time you look at your passport, you remember the visa you didn't get. You look at the situation and you see yourself as a beggar forever. You see yourself as a weak man of God in competition with other men of God, or getting angry. That is the reason why it keeps you like that. You need to wipe that vision out of your mind. You must have control over your meditation. Finally, brethren, Philippians chapter 4, I believe in verse 8, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Koinonia, help me, think on these things. Anything that is outside this list, the Bible is giving you an advice that meditating on them is a risk to your destiny. Number three, manifesting spiritual realities. Can we continue? I want you to listen to point number three very carefully. Mix the truth you know with faith. Mix the truth you know with faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Mix the truth you have found that has entered into your consciousness. Mix it with faith. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What does it mean to mix? Combine. Combine your meditation with faith. What is faith? Your obedience. Your actions of obedience. Obedience to the conditions that connect to the promise. Every speaking of God I have taught you here has conditions connected to it. Listen carefully. The profit point of your Christian adventure is when you find the truth, meditate to create conviction, and then you engage, you mix with obedience, faith. Most people do not obey scripture. They want the results, but they are not willing to obey. To obey means you have to embrace the spirit of wisdom. What does the Bible say you should do that connects to the promise you are looking for? For instance, the Bible talks about laziness and begging, how that both of them are related. So when you meditate on the fact that the Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat, is that true? What is your point of obedience now? Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, that is in righteousness, you do as unto God. So you can go and get the job, even though it's just 40,000 or 50,000. You are obeying. You are walking in keeping with the law of diligence. That there is a relationship between increase and diligence. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to poverty. Okay? What then is the action point there? That means I will give. Not out of compulsion or manipulation, but with the revelation that number one, I love Jesus, but that the law of increase is connected to giving. And then you do so, and it works for you. That's why I said obedience requires not just zeal, but the spirit of wisdom. You need to know what to do. Master, we have toiled all night. There are many, many people who are found wanting in the place of obedience. It's why they do not see promises manifest. Let me tell you the truth. As much as I sympathize with the many things happening around our nation, there are people, even if dollar were $1 to $1, they will still be poor, because their problem is not Nigeria, nor whatever government is in power. I'm not a politician. There is an intrinsic determination to remain lazy. Jesus said the poor you always have with you. Is your own responsibility to exempt yourself. There are people who are very lazy. There are others whose energy is not coordinated with wisdom. So there is blind dissipation of energy that is not constructive. This is what we call productivity. Channeling your energy with intelligence so that you produce specific outcomes. You don't waste energy and resources. Are we together?
Yes.
This can be true for ministry. As a man of God, you cannot sit down lazying around, being everywhere, talking, gossiping, jumping from pillar to post, and you want God to trust you with the destinies of many. You don't sit down to pray. You don't sit down to learn. You don't open up your heart to grow. God is not a scammer. He's not a fraudster. He's in a business of using serious people, not just available people. It's wonderful to be available, but you must also be usable. Are we learning now? So most of us have found wanting. Someone, after this meeting, you need to get angry and tell yourself, this week I must start something. If a job does not come by the spirit of grace, I will read a book, I will watch something profitable online, I will get up and go and look for, there's a land that my brother has, I will start farming this week. Let me farm and fail, no problem. At the point of obedience, that's when the miracle comes. He told the 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, as they went. Say, as they went. One more time, say, as they went. The miracle happens at the point of obedience, not before obedience. Maybe there are people here God has spoken to sow certain seeds according to the revelation, and Isaac sowed in that land in the time of famine. And you are there giving flimsy excuses. Time will pass, the famine will finish, and you remain broke. When God put it in my heart to do some of the things we are doing now, I became excited because one, I love Jesus sincerely. Two, I love you with all my heart. Three, I love myself with all my heart. You see that? That in my obedience is my rising. I don't rise because I'm a man of God. I rise because I'm a practitioner of the truth of God's word. Koinonia, are we learning? Obedience. 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 Provided you camp around disobedience, I guarantee you under God, there are certain realities you will never see manifest in your life. You can do eye service, but eventually your life will show that God has marked your script and he's found you wanting. Are we learning now?
Yes.
Obedience. For some of you, your point of obedience can be to obtain the grace to start being diligent in consistent, fervent prayer. You are a man of God. You are trusting God for increase. Go back and settle down. Some of you, you are leaders that God has called. He's shown you that you are going to be a global leader. With the level of intellectual deficiency you have, it will be a risk for God to trust you at certain heights. Therefore, increase your capacity. Go and borrow vessels. If it means going to get certain certifications to add to your pedigree, your qualification, to give you that edge with respect to what he's called you, go for it. Lazying around and envying people in anger will not solve your problem. Are we together? Getting angry at another man's farm will not make your farm suddenly become green. You will sit down there while weed is growing on your own farm as you are pointing fingers on people who are plowing their farms with diligence. I don't like this family. I'm sure that they met witches and wizards to rise. The man returns late in the night, finds you sleeping, wakes up early in the morning, you are still sleeping, returns in the afternoon, finds you gossiping, and what a witch. Where is our guy? He's traveled. Where did he go to? He went for a seminar somewhere. As a director of a company? Yes, sir. And you sit down there playing something in the afternoon, sitting in the sun, arguing about Nigeria, arguing about Africa, and wondering why your store is empty. Next time you say, I will never be poor, the meaning of that is that I'm determined to do what will make me never to be poor. If you don't finish that statement, you lied. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Faith. I release the grace for obedience upon you. Shout a believing amen. The grace to walk in keeping with the truths that commit God to perform on your behalf. May that grace be released upon you. If it is the giving grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the praying grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the fasting grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the grace for diligence, may it be released upon you. If it's the grace for value and productivity, may it be released upon you.
Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me, Spirit of wisdom. Oh,
give you an advice. It's a loving advice. Stop complaining about what is not working. Bend your head down, obtain grace from God, and start exempting yourself through obedience. Let me speak to every young man here. Complaining about Nigeria and joining in all kinds of profitless debates will not define your reality. No, we don't shy away from what is happening. But let me challenge every responsible person in this ministry. From tomorrow, Monday, make up your mind, I'm not complaining again. If you don't know what to do, wake up and listen to all my teachings on productivity. Start from there. I shall not want. Listen to it. Huh? The power of productivity. Listen to it. Get working. And when people want to distract you and eat up your productivity, gently tell them, sorry, that's all right. We'll talk about it when I have a bit of free time. Today is Monday and you are busy already. Tell them I came to church and I received an apostolic, a priestly, a fatherly counsel that complaining does not increase. It only brings people down. Are we together now? You settle down and begin to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I came from a family struggling. I make up my mind by grace that things will begin to change now. Some of you may need to go somewhere and say, you know what? Bring me as an apprentice in this company. I won't receive salary, but I will receive wisdom. I am tired of laziness. And they say, really? By the third day with favor on your life that you are about to receive, you will be surprised what will happen. God will bring somebody there who will say, I'm looking for a well-behaved gentleman. And the director will say, everybody is busy. Only one guy who does not collect salary. Follow that white man. And that's the end of it. God begins to lift you. I forbid you from being lazy. Shout amen. Listen, anything you are doing now that you cannot give your all to, stop it immediately. I don't care what it is. Anything you are doing with part-time seriousness, leave it immediately. Look for what is worth giving your all. Are we together now? You will never find me putting my hands in many things because I commit my all in it. I rather do only two things in my life and plunge myself. If I perish, I perish mentality is the mentality of victors. Are we together? You are in a part club there. You have never attended the membership meeting. You are causing trouble for the people. You are a part worker in church. You are not serious. In your office, you are a ghost worker. In the house of God, you don't come. At home, you are not a serious husband or a serious wife or a serious child. So part commitment. I rebuke that spirit now. The Bible says they followed him wholly. There must be something in your life that is worth the investment of your all. Anything you have to give only part of you to is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. When people bring visions for me to lay my hands on, I ask them, can you do this for the rest of your life? If they say, no, this is just for a while, I tell them, okay, while you are doing this, look for what is worth the commitment of your life and also be building it. Nothing wrong in doing things part way, but if that is all you do, you'll be disappointed. When I got into ministry, I knew that I will serve God till the day I see his face. There's no plan B. That bridge was burnt by myself. Show me a man that believes in what you are doing and you can push your all in it. I show you the person who will frustrate life and Satan forever till you emerge. Are we together? There are footballers who play football as a ministry. They train, they give their best. There are those who are just looking for money. Nobody invites them because their passion betrays them. There are business people who are out to add value before profit. They give their best. Even when the business is not profitable, they continue. Because what drove them was not just profit, it was impact. So eventually God rewards them. But there are others who from day one, they are looking for money. So they compromise even at the detriment of their own integrity, provided money will come. There are people today who can do anything that you know, provided it will bring money. Anything. No, you cannot live like that. There are people who will do anything to make ministry work. Anything. And when I say anything, let's hurry up. Number four. What is the fourth key? Pay attention to this one. I sense that there will be a stirring in the spirit as I teach on this fourth one. Are you ready? The fourth key to manifesting spiritual realities: engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. You will never manifest anything from the spirit that carries weight without engaging in spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? Establishing victory over spirits. Write it down, please. Establishing victory over spirits and conditions that fight the manifestation of the word in your life. Establishing victory over spirits and over conditions that fight the manifestation of the word in your life. In your life means in your ministry, in your home, in your business, in your sphere of influence. 1 Corinthians 16:9, spiritual warfare. My God, my dear people, believe this. Believe this. There is a warfare dimension to transporting realities from the spirit to your realm. For a great door, let's read together. One to read. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. I've taught you here. For every door that is to be opened, there are adversaries. There are adversaries. There are adversaries. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. Engage in spiritual warfare. Paul is speaking and he says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, I tried and tried and tried. But Satan himself, not a demon spirit, hindered us. Satan still fights the manifestation. Listen, all unclean spirits are stubborn spirits. All demonic unclean spirits are stubborn spirits. Meaning, just because the word says they should obey does not mean they will obey. The same way the executive arm of a government, they pass a decree, but it does not mean defaulters will obey. They are aware. That is the reason why law enforcement agents are released. The basis for the function of law enforcement agents is what the executive have passed. Is that true? Or legislature, whatever it is. And then when it is passed, they now catch you wanting, and the basis of their punishing you is to let you know you have defaulted an executive order somewhere. For instance, stay at home for sanitation. If you default and they catch you, they will tell you you are aware. Are you aware? Yes, sir. If you are fortunate, they pardon you. If you are not, they will find you and you will go to jail. That's how it is. When God says you are a blessing, Satan says, what did he say? No. We will fight it. They first come to you to find out whether you are aware and you believe. Then they find out whether it has become a reality in your consciousness. Then they find out whether you have obtained the grace to obey. If there is no point, they will attack you directly for no reason. The reason why Satan attacks primarily is because he's Antichrist and he's a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's no point stealing, killing, and destruction until there is something to steal, something to kill, and something to destroy. Let me tell you the truth. The kind of warfare that you have to fight to birth prophecy to your life, it will take stamina in the spirit. Hallelujah. It is the reason why you see us pray. It is the reason why you see us engage. Behind the physical manifestations that you see, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Do you know the warfare that Satan puts up just to get you to come here to hear what you are hearing now? You think the devil will leave you to come to your house just like that? But thank God for men and women who understand the art of the altar. Praying and saying, Lord, everyone who should come and hear this word, they will come by the Spirit. So even when your car does not work, just when you are getting offended, your neighbor says, I'm coming for Koinonia today, let's go. There's no excuse. It's not a coincidence. It was engineered by priesthood. Say spiritual warfare. A family that does not pray will become a victim of Satan. A couple that don't pray will be a victim of Satan. A mother that does not pray will have her children turn into armed robbers and all kinds of people. A father that does not pray is like a man who opened his gate and said, if you are a thief, just come in. You are welcome to this house. Because if your house is not a house of prayer, I have taught you, it becomes a den of robbers. A believer who does not pray, among many other disadvantages, you become a victim of the arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilences, the destructions that waste in noonday. Someone shout minus me. Let the devil hear you. Oh, as the arrows fly from wherever. You know, there are all kinds of missile technologies today that the army uses, that sometimes when you fire a rocket against a nation, as they detect it, they counter it immediately. It's been programmed. It will explode that thing in the air there and then fire another rocket following the trajectory where that thing came from. Come on now. To backfire back to the place. As I said this thing, it just moved something in my spirit. Back to where it came from. Shalakaposia. Any man that programs anything against your life, in the name that is above all names, he returns back to that devil this night. He returns back to that devil that night. This concept of things backfiring happens. So, ask Haman. Haman dug a pit. He had sized Mordecai. This is how this guy will be hung there. I wonder how he felt when it was his time to hang. The Bible says, now the Lord of peace himself, is that in your Bible? That he will give you peace always and by all means. That means anybody that makes himself the troubler of your destiny, may the God of vengeance arise over them in this season. Anybody that has vowed that provided he's alive, your family will not laugh. Your family will not smile. I say it again, by the God who sent me, let the sword of vengeance descend upon them this week. Descend upon them this week. Hallelujah. I was once told the story of a young lady, true story. I don't know, I think it happened, I hope I get the whole story. It happened because of jealousy and envy, I think. Maybe some woman, I was told, stamped her feet and beat her chest in the front of the lady and said, provided she's alive, that girl will not go forward. It will only work if you have not met power. Did you hear what I said? I believe in power. Oh, I really believe in power. We are wasting the time of God's people without power. That coalition from anywhere, while they make those enchantments while you are sleeping, this family should not rise. This family should not rise from nowhere, like thunder from heaven. Tabarus Kadiata, a power greater than all powers, descends from the realm of the spirit with a manifestation in the physical realm and will scatter every plotting of darkness. Hallelujah.
Hello, God's people. Welcome back to Priestly Nation. I'm still your friend and brother, Mr. Duke Obinna, and I'm delighted to have you here with me. I want to encourage you in the view of God's mercy. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I'm so happy. It makes me feel, I feel like the writer of that romance. Because I'm putting on glasses. Praise God. I want to really appreciate you. I'm always free when I interact with others, because this is family. Many of us had stayed with this channel for years now. So I want to keep encouraging you. For the new first time has coming, and God bless you. Stay with us. This is a family. We'll keep expanding. Thank you for joining us. We value your input in the channel. And our desire for you is not just for you to keep watching our sermons. We also want you, as you watch our sermons, that your life will be transformed, that you become the sermon you are watching. That you will become the sermon you are watching. So there are things I want us to talk about, the power of thanksgiving, because we live in a world where people are no longer grateful to the Lord, and it's a major problem. I want to talk to you about the power of thanksgiving. And the scriptures we are going to look at is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. We have three scriptures to look at. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So God wants you to give thanks in everything. Everything means both good or bad, give thanks. Hunger or abundance, give thanks. Give thanks. That's how you when you give thanks, when you learn to give thanks in everything, if you find yourself in a condition that is not favorable, it is thanksgiving that will bring you into the one favorable. When you still find yourself in the one that is favorable, it is thanksgiving that will make sure you remain there. Thanksgiving will always lead to your good and lifting. So in all things, give thanks. When the devil wants to attack the good God has given you, he will try to do something on the surface that will make you stop giving thanks. That's how he actually strikes you. You know, when the devil was attacking Job, you need to understand that what he was doing to Job was not what he wanted. All the things he was doing had not gotten to Job, because God told him that you can't touch this guy. All he was doing, the surface secret, it was also all in the surface. He didn't still have power over Job. Take his family, it was all. If Job had offended, had become offended and cursed God in his heart, he would have lost it. The devil now reached out to the wife to tell Job to curse God and die. Job told the woman, you are foolish. So the devil can come and do things on the surface. He understands that the good you have going on with your life, if you stop giving thanks, you can lose that good. And even if you are in a bad situation, if you stay with thanksgiving, oh, it will bring you into good. Thanksgiving takes you from bad to good and keeps you in the good, from good to the best. From good to the best. So in all things, the approach, the mindset, the attitude is thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving. Praise God. Praise God. The second scripture is Psalm 100 verse 4. The Bible said, the book of Psalm 104, the very popular scripture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So God wants us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We must learn to bless the name of the Lord at all times. Philippians 4 verse 16, the last scripture I'm going to read, then we bring out points from that scriptures. For even in Thessalonica, Philippians 4 verse 6, not 16. Me, I'm surprised when I heard Thessalonica. I was not saying, what's the problem? Praise God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So thanksgiving is what delivers the product to God. Thanksgiving is what covers the product. All the things you are saying, supplication, everything you are doing, your anxiety, everything, wrap it up with thanksgiving and present to God. It's as if there is a product, there is a seal that needs to be on a product that must come into God's presence. Thanksgiving is that seal. Thanksgiving is that seal. In our company, in the kingdom, there are products we allow. When you are serving a product and the company that is bringing it is fear, it will not cross. It's a contraband. We don't accept it. We don't import those things into our system. You know, time in Nigeria, I'm from Nigeria, in time in Nigeria, there were times when the government started banning some products from coming into the country. That's how people do. That's how countries operate. There are things they don't want you to bring into their product, into their country. So when they see, they check it. There's a checkpoint that checks the things you are coming into the country with. There are contrabands they remove. So when you send in things into God's presence, the packaging that the heaven allows is thanksgiving. If you are not coming, bringing supplication, everything you are asking, your prayers with thanksgiving, it will not get to God. If you are bringing with fear, if you are praying with fear, Lord, these people want to kill me, Lord, save me, it will not cross. Supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. That's how your request gets to God. It must get the seal of thanksgiving. I don't want to dwell on there, but I had to just point this out. So we're going to look at the 5 points quickly. The first point is thanksgiving honors God. Gratitude acknowledges God's goodness and faithfulness. That's why he said you should come boldly, that you should come before his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Come to his gate with thanksgiving. If you must get access into my gate, you must be thanksgiving. Message translation said the password to his presence is thanksgiving. The password to God is thanksgiving. If you don't have thanksgiving as a password, you will not come there. Thanksgiving. The second point is thanksgiving defeats complaining. A thankful heart overcomes bitterness and discouragement. Scripture, Philippians 2 verse 14. The third point, thanksgiving brings peace. Gratitude replaces anxiety with God's peace. Scripture, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The fourth point, thanksgiving strengthens faith. Remembering God's goodness increases confidence in Him. Scripture, Psalms 103 verse 2. Then finally, thanksgiving is God's way. Thanksgiving is God's way for you and I. Believers should remain thankful in every circumstance. Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. Summary, thanksgiving glorifies God, strengthens faith, and fills the believer with peace. We are going to pray a prayer and say, Lord, I receive the grace to be a thanksgiver, to stop complaining and start giving thanks. I receive the grace. The Bible said it is with joy that we draw from the well of salvation. I receive the grace to be a thanksgiver. I come into your presence with thanksgiving. Can you say thank you, Lord, in 2 seconds? Father, I thank you for my life. Thank you for the previous week, the success we saw, the growth we saw, the expansion we saw. Thank you for what you are yet to do in this week. Oh, thank you for we know more would happen. What will happen? It is from glory to glory. As we keep beholding us in a glass, we are transformed to you from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty powerful name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for taking out your time to watch the sermon. Stay through the commentary. God bless you. Drop what you've learned on the comment section and God will bless you. Share this video with your family and friends. Stay blessed. We're going to see you in the next sermon. Bye.